by the extreme right around the world. Let's speak to Jacob Davey, researcher and project coordinator at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Welcome, Jacob. Is this a global coordinated movement, or is that over-egging it?
No, I think that's absolutely a correct characterization of the threat. We are increasingly seeing an internationalized far right. These groups are looking across borders to gain inspiration. They're building a shared culture, often heavily vested in social media and internet subcultures. They're building a shared ideology. And across borders, they're able to cooperate with funding, with moral support, and indeed with propaganda as well.
And is this all in plain sight of authorities?
Not all, but quite a lot of it is. I mean, a large amount of this material is readily available on social media or indeed on a range of fringe platforms as well. However, there is coordination which goes on in closed fora as well, such as WhatsApp and Telegram. But I think it's a fair characterization to say that this isn't all happening in the shadows. If you know where to look, you can certainly see this.
The man who is accused of the murders and will face more charges said quite grandly that he had a manifesto online. It was a collection of writings, some of them stolen from various other sources, quite vague ramblings about extreme views. Do you think it's influential? Do you think it was meant to recruit more people?
I mean, absolutely. I think that's a fair characterization. If you unpick this so-called manifesto, what you see throughout it, it's riddled with references to internet culture, really quite esoteric language, which maybe to the uninitiated reader might seem bizarre. However, to individuals who are engaged with extreme right culture, these are all nudges and winks and dog whistles to a broader ideology.
What's the relationship, if any, between the violence and propaganda of white nationalists and Islamic extremists?
I think it's helpful here to think of these two movements as two sides of the same coin. They increasingly sort of reference one another in their propaganda, in their messaging, use one another as justification for their actions. The attacker himself claimed to be partly influenced by Islamic State actions. And I think these groups are going to continue mutually reinforcing one another in the years to come.
To what degree have the big talking points of white nationalists been taken into mainstream political debates, do you think, over the past couple of years?
I would say that the mainstreaming of the extreme right is a trend which we've noticed continuing over the past few years. Extremist talking points are now no longer just the domain of the fringe. We're seeing an increased resurgence in far-right populist parties across Europe, for example, which parrot and nod to some of these. I mean, the discussion which the attacker made around migration, I think, can be quite closely linked to broader discussions which are happening in the mainstream. And this mainstreaming is something I think we're going to continue to see.
The irony of talk of peoples taking over lands and cultures is entirely lost, is it, on a British immigrant to Australia taking over from native people their land in history?
I think the irony is completely lost there, but this is a common talking point. This is a common ideological thread which is perpetuated by the extreme right. It's a conspiracy theory referred to as the Great Replacement Theory, which originated in France. And this is becoming increasingly linked up with broader discussions around immigration. This is quite a commonly held viewpoint.
Jacob Davey, a project coordinator at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue.